Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. This is right near the beginning of Jesus' ministry, as we'll see. He has been baptized by John. The Holy Spirit has descended upon him and taken him out to be tempted in the desert. And now Jesus returns. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love scriptures like this because I get to talk about fishing, and fishing is my absolute favorite. I will tell you, one of my favorite Bible verses is from the Gospel of John 21, chapter 21, verse 3, the first part, because it says, "Peter said to the other disciples, 'I'm going fishing.'" That's how I try to live my life. That's the first part. The second part is they went out that night and caught nothing, which is true to life, but I don't like to speak up on that part. So I love fishing. So this passage, this idea, you kind of started it with the kids, this idea of fishing for people. It's fascinating. I love it. I get to talk about fishing, so that's what we're going to do. We'll give a little bit of this background that begins this passage, but then we're going to try to dive in to this metaphor that Jesus gives about fishing for people. And we're going to try to hash that out. And I will admittedly probably do better at hashing some of the individual metaphors within the larger metaphor better than others. But I also know that you're smart people and that you can sort of piece some of it together too. So I'm not going to do all the work for you. I'm going to leave you with some homework. Stew on it at lunchtime, as it were. Okay, so you ready? Fishing, I love it. So here's Jesus. He's been out in the wilderness going on his journey of temptation and sort of proving himself in this wilderness experience with the devil. And he comes back and he hears that John has been arrested. Now, John was his mentor. John was the guy that starts Jesus off in his ministry, but John's been arrested. And so Jesus, as a part of John's group, doesn't want to necessarily get caught up in the troubles that John is having. And so Jesus leaves from that place and goes somewhere else. He goes up to the Sea of Galilee, which is a big lake. I understand you can't see across it, but it is fresh water. It's not necessarily a sea like we think of. It's a big lake, but it's called the Sea of Galilee. So he goes up there, and he continues John's message. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." These are the same exact words that John has read, that John has been proclaiming out in the desert along the Jordan, baptizing people. But unlike John, who seemed to have stayed relatively in one place. And remember, all the people from Jerusalem and the surrounding community are coming to John to be baptized. Jesus apparently sets out to go to the people, to journey, as it were. And he comes beside the Sea of Galilee, and he meets two sets of brothers. Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, who are actively fishing in their boat. And Jesus says, "Follow me, I will make you fish for people." I love it. And then also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they are mending their nets. I don't know if that was because they had such a good day of fishing that the nets needed to be mended, or maybe they had a really bad day fishing, like, something's wrong with our nets, we should mend them. But whatever the case may be, they are mending their nets, and Jesus calls them also. The interesting part that I don't want us to forget is their reaction. Immediately, they left the boat. The Zebedee brothers leave their father, and they follow Jesus. Immediately, they drop everything that they're doing, and they go and follow Jesus. So what about this idea of making you fish for people? Does that sound odd? Could you see the kids struggling with this idea? We struggled with it a little bit in Sunday school. Most of us, unlike Simon and Andrew, James and John, we're not fishing with nets anymore. Right? It's often illegal in many places to fish with nets. You can throw a net sometimes, but gill nets and that sort of thing, it's illegal. Most of our fishing is with the hook and line. And this idea of like hooking somebody, like with an actual hook, like, it's not good. That's not the type of fishing for people that we're going to be doing. We're not throwing treble hooks and trying to grab a hold of people. But I think that there is some beauty in this idea of fishing for people. Because when I fish, I love it. It's amazing. And it's this deep activity. It is a verb beyond anything else. It's an action. It's what you do. And so let's try to connect fishing for fish and fishing for people. If you want to be successful at catching fish, the first thing you have to do is understand fish. There's a book in my office right now. It's called Think Like a Fish. It's true. It's an autobiography of one of the original professional fishermen, Tom Mann. It's a great book. You should read it. But think like a fish. When you're trying to catch a fish, it's a very simple thing. You're trying to trick a fish into eating what's on the end of your line. That's it. We're not trying to surprise it or do anything else. You're trying to convince this fish that what's on the end of your line is food, and it should eat it. Now, you can do that in all sorts of different ways. You can make it look like something it wants to eat. You can make it act like something it wants to eat. You can make it annoy it. And so the fish wants to shut it up, like a topwater. You can make a lot of splashes and stuff, and the fish will shut up. Fascinating. That's simple. That's it. Convince this fish that what is on the end of your line is something that it wants to eat. Fishing for people. As complex as we like to pretend to be, we're simple people. We're simple creatures. We're all striving for something. If we want to fish for people, we need to make sure that what we're offering is what they want. Now, we can be super literal and offer people food. We are people of the table. Anytime you tell someone there's free food, that's a good way to get them in the door. I will tell you, when I'm inviting people to church, I will usually say the second Sunday of the month is the best one because we have the potluck that week. It's simple. Food. Yes, come for food. But there are also things that people are longing for that we can offer them. Community. Support. Acceptance, love. These are all things that people are striving for. Like a fish striving for a meal, we can offer that to people. Now, before we go too far, every metaphor breaks down, right? We're tricking the fish into food. We're not actually giving it food. But when we're bringing people to church, we are actually giving them that, okay? We're not offering love and acceptance and community and then snatching it away from it. Like, we're really offering that to people. It's a simple thing. Offering This love and acceptance, community, grace, forgiveness. This is one of the few places in our world that those things can be found in abundance. If we can just get it out there. The other thing that you have to do if you want to be a successful fisher person, I realized as I was preparing, fishermen is like the go-to. Like a lot of other, there's firefighters, you don't say firemen anymore, mailmen, there's a mail carrier. But fishermen is like, I couldn't think of anything else. But I want to be inclusive, right? So fisher people, I guess. If you want to be a successful fisher person, it's important to know the body of water that you're fishing in. You cannot be successful in identifying where the fish are and how they're moving if you're not there, if you don't spend time around the water. You might get lucky and just throw your bait or your lure out there and just get lucky. But if you want to have sustained success, it's important to be there, to recognize the water, to see where the structure is, to know where the fish are setting up. Madeline and I love fishing at Veterans Park at West Hickman Creek. We spend a lot of time down by that creek, in the water, looking at rocks, seeing where the holes are. Part of that's because they stock trout in there twice a year, and we want to catch them when they do. And so we spend time down by the water, seeing where the deeper spots are, seeing where the logs and the branches that have laid down in the water are. We spend time to get to know this body of water. And we know it pretty good. We could probably walk it with our eyes closed, I think, at this point. You got to know. How is that like fishing for people? If we want to connect with people, we've got to be where they are. We have to spend time with them. We have to recognize what it is that they're looking for, how they relate to others. And the closer we are to a group of people, the better we can relate to them. This afternoon, we're going to Bridgepoint. We go to Bridgepoint once a month to offer worship service for the residents. A couple months ago, after we got done, one of our folks that have been worshiping with us, he's a retired minister, he was there at the worship service, and he called me afterwards. He called me over, and he said, great, that was good service. Loved the singing. The piano playing was great. Then he was like, your message did not land with anybody. It was awful. And I said, well, thank you for letting me know. I appreciate that. And his point was that these words that I was offering, words I might offer to you all, but being active, sharing God's love, going out, being a light in the darkness. He said, these are folks that live here. They're lonely. They miss their families. They're looking for a word of hope. And here you are talking about offering hope. He was right. He was there in the community living amongst them. He recognized what they were looking for and longing for. And me as an outsider who shows up once a month did not know what the folks were looking for, what they were longing for and needing. He was there. He knew how to connect with people. Like Madeline and I walking down by the creek once a week, he was there recognizing what they needed. If we're going to invite people to follow Jesus, we need to know what it is that they're longing for, what they're looking for, what their lives consist of, what they need. The beauty of Jesus calling so many different disciples is that he could send them out to different places. Later on in the gospel, he sends them out two by two ahead of him to the towns where he will be going to prepare the way. And I imagine that these fishermen are going out to connect with other fishermen, other tradesmen, tax collectors going out and connecting with different parts of the community that they're familiar with. We're all tied to our own parts of this community. We're all invited to go forth into the communities and those groups that we know, that we're intimate with, and invite them over and to invite them to follow Jesus. The other part about fishing is that there's this weird balance between being patient and being active. A lot of people, I kind of think Zoe was touching on it today. It's kind of, there's no point. It's boring. A lot of times when you ask people, "What do you want to go fishing?" It's like, no, I'm not patient enough. I don't have the patience to do that. Neither do I. I'm a very active fisher person. I don't like to sit in one spot. I'm not the type of person that's going to tie a worm on and throw it out and just watch it. I want to be moving. Most of the fishing that I love to do, if I haven't caught a fish within the first couple of casts, I move somewhere else. It's an active thing, moving around. But there are also times where it's important to sit and to wait and to be patient. And it's hard to tell sometimes. There's once I was helping one of the kids at the church learn how to fly fish. And we're in the river and casting up, and I'm trying to help him out. And I've got my line just dragging behind me. And he's over, he's working, and he's doing a good job, but he looks and he sees mine just hanging out behind me. He's like, "That looks a lot easier. Can I just do that?" And I was like, "No, that's not how you fly fish. I'm not going to catch anything back there. You're going to be the one catching, casting up here and retrieving." And as soon as I said that, I got a huge bite. I was like, "Well, sorry, I'm lying to you, but that's not what usually happens." But there are times when you're fishing where just your line gets tangled up and your lure's just sitting out there. You're dragging it along and everything just should not work. But it does. You catch a fish. There are other times where you think about what needs to happen and you study and you try and you try and it works perfectly. The fish is where you thought it was supposed to be. The lure is just perfect and the fish does exactly what it's supposed to and you're able to catch it. Those are both equally relevant when you're fishing. And it's the same when we're fishing for people. We can be active and striving to reach people. And there are times where it seems like whatever we're doing should never work. But those are the ways that we connect with people, by being real and being ourselves. It all depends. If we get so stuck on one way, we'll miss the other. The other part about fishing that I love, I think this might be the last one, we'll decide later, is it's a very inventive process. We've been fishing as human beings for generations, millennia, thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years, right? Little bone hooks and a little worm, a little cricket. You can catch a fish. Simple, easy. Or you can spend thousands of dollars on equipment and gear and boats and travel. And both work. But by being close to the water, by being active, by recognizing what fish are looking for, we've invented so many different things to fish with. I got a 3D printer. I've printed a few fishing lures already. It's so fascinating. What was started as such a simple thing, we've now complicated, and I've got a 3D printer to make a fishing lure. And yet sometimes the simplest things also work. As we're trying to strive and to meet people, to bring followers to Christ, sometimes we can get super complicated. Super involved, flashy colors, new colors. And sometimes that works. And sometimes we get back to basics with a little hook and a worm. And we simply share the love of Christ with people. I could go all day, I recognize that. But I hope, I don't want to change metaphors to gardening, but I hope I've planted a seed. This idea of fishing for people. And if you come up with any metaphors this week, let me know. I would love to hear them. Any ways that fishing for fish and people are connected. I'd love to hear them. If you're one, like we, I did say that all metaphors break down. And so if you're like, well, what about this? How is that a good thing? Like, let's talk about it. I love to hear it. So I love to hear it. But I think that Jesus has called us to be fishers of people. This was the first thing that Jesus said to his disciples. And the last thing that Jesus says to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew is go and make disciples. He calls them, follow me, I'll make you fish for people. And as he leaves them, he says, go out and catch those people. Make my disciples. It's a beautiful journey in between, but now we are tasked to go out and make disciples. I hope that we can do it. Amen.